Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue Tuesday, May 21st. We're going to do our agenda in a little bit different, or not a little bit, a very different order than what it's printed in. I want to move along very quickly a couple of Senate bills in a work session, and then we will go to a public hearing. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 213A.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 213A, again, this is an annual bill that comes before the committee. This is relating to the updating and our connection to federal Internal Revenue Code statutes. Again, the bill in front of you with 213A, it's just making that point-in-time connection update. So it's just moving that December 31st, 2017 date and making it December 31st, 2018. So 17 to 18. Other than that, no changes contained in the measure.
Thank you. Could we have a motion?
Oh, yes, we could. Chair Nathanson, I move Senate Bill 213A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves 213A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Motion passes. I'm closing the work session on 213A, opening a work session on Senate Bill 523A.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 523A allows the Department of Revenue to post information about people with delinquent debt who are not signed up for a payment plan on their website. The revenue impact is $2 million a biennium, and it has a minimal fiscal.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, I move SB 523A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves Senate Bill 523A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Representative Reschke.
Yes. I'll be a courtesy yes to get it moving forward, but I do have some objections.
Thank you. The motion passes. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 523A. And now we open a public hearing on House Bill 30. We're going to do a work session. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2387.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are those two bills that we just worked, are they going to the floor or are they going to, and if they are, who's carrying them?
I'll figure that out in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
But you won't need to carry the one that you.
You don't want me carrying, correct? Yes.
I know, it would be kind of fun.
I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2387.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2387, we do have the Dash 2 amendment. And the change in the underlying bill with the Dash 2 is it's making a change to the 529 tax subtraction that is in place right now. So 529 plans, again, are education or ABLE plans where there is a tax incentive or tax benefit for taxpayers that contribute to those plans. And 2387 with the Dash 2 is actually replacing the tax subtraction with a refundable tax credit. Again, the tax credit, there is a limit of $300 or $150 for a single filer, $300 for a joint, and the credit is a function of your adjusted gross income. So the lower a taxpayer's adjusted gross income, the greater amount of the credit percentage or potential tax benefit that can be received. We do have the paperwork on this. The fiscal impact is minimal, and the revenue impact does start off as a positive revenue impact, and then in the later biennium, goes to a negative, with the idea being it really is right around the revenue neutral position. But happy to discuss that in greater detail if you'd like as well.
Thank you. I would like Treasurer Reed to come up and explain the current status of the bill and amendment to us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm Tobias Reed. I have the honor of serving as state treasurer with Ms. Ryan Mann, our legislative director, and we really Appreciate you hearing House Bill 2387 again. We've talked in this committee and individually with, I think, all of you about the concept here. But what's different, as Kyle has ably described, is our effort to hear your concerns and constraints as a legislature and construct something that is revenue neutral but conforms to our intent to put these resources to work where they can make a difference and in the hands of people who can really use them. Moving from a subtraction to a credit makes the incentive meaningful and relevant to people across the income spectrum and will give us the tool as the team that manages the college savings and ABLE accounts to interact with people who maybe don't know about these accounts, who aren't familiar with their power. And that's really the intent. So we could certainly go into the details of the amendment, but I think stepping back, it's worth remembering what's really at the heart of this effort, and that is to help people live up to their full potential. We've talked at great length about the power that having an account has. Not only does it affect a person's means, but perhaps even more importantly, affects a person's mindset. And so if you want to do something about the potential and talent that is inherent in every child in Oregon, I think there's great value in saying to them, you know, you are worthy, capable, and we believe in you. And that's really what we would like to do with this change. So I appreciate hearing the bill, and I hope we can move it forward, Madam Chair.
Any questions? Or discussion? Thank you. Oh, Representative Marsh.
Well, I just have a broad comment. I think this is a really interesting approach, and thank you for working on it since we last spoke here. I do think as we start, and this committee tends to see the programs that are available to lower income families around savings, putting money away for various purposes. We've got Oregon Saves now. We've got the College Savings Program. We're looking at tax credits. We're looking at the individual development accounts. And I think it's incumbent on us to really start thinking about how we communicate the variety and the breadth of those programs to people who are eligible, rather than being individual programs. We're really putting together, as a result of all of these efforts, a broad program of financial that can be communicated in a financial literacy way to people who are eligible. And we really need to think about how to exploit that opportunity in front of us, I think.
I couldn't agree more. It's part of the reason that we've really consolidated the three programs that are currently in the State Treasurer's Office between Oregon Saves, the College Savings Plan, and ABLE into our Oregon Savings Network. And I think your comments are right. We really want to build a culture of savings in Oregon.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Fenley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Treasury, this is a great program. I'm a little nervous because of the referral of this goes to the JTACs. And as you well know, our good co-chairs on the Ways and Means did not give that committee a very large budget. And that we may be putting our eggs in a basket that's going to have a big hole in the bottom of it as we get through that process of appropriating out those tax credits. So,
Madam Chair, Representative Fenley, I'm going to trust you and your colleagues on the dais to be a good advocates on that joint committee. That's also part of why we worked very hard to construct this in a way that is revenue neutral. So it's not competing with any of the other, it's not requiring any additional resources to make this change. So I hope we'll be successful.
And I appreciate your effort on that. And that's a message that we need to carry forward as we get through that process.
Questions or discussion?
Thank you for
us today. It seems that we have everything we need in front of us to continue our work in this work session on 2387. Representative Marsh.
Madam Chair, I
yes.
can do that.
Thank you, Representative Finley.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment be adopted into House Bill 2387.
Representative Finley moves the Dash 2 amendment adopted into HB 2387. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2387 as amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Vice Chair Finley moves House Bill 2387 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. Discussion? Representative, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just looking at all, I assume there's a fiscal statement and a revenue statement, but just not an OLIS at this time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Representative Reschke, the fiscal just came in a few moments ago, so it has popped up. You'd have to refresh your screen. But yeah, the fiscal did come back. I believe that was minimal as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. I am closing the work session on House Bill 2387. And we are ready to do
House Bill
3136. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3136.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, member of the committee. House Bill 3136 comes to you this morning with a Dash 3 amendment. And the Dash 3 amendment, as we have them here, basically include a combination of two different amendments. The first one is the 3136-2, which allows for the same idea of the funds of up to a maximum of $900,000 to be used by the Department of Revenue out of the money of the TLT, or the transient lodging revenues, to allow them to be able to work for the programs and softwares in the, through their processes, to allow for collection for local revenues or local taxes. And the payments for these funds would come through time through the withholding of the 5% that otherwise would have been compensation for the online travel companies as they come and allow for that payment to happen. And it also happens with an entrance amount of 2%. Now, the new addition, this is primarily Dash 2. The new addition of Dash 3 is it also allows for the scraper software that was part of House Bill, or most of House Bill 3135, to be worked into House Bill 3136. So this becomes the more inclusive bill as it stands.
Thank you. I will not be opening a work session separately on House Bill 3135. We will be discussing only House Bill 3136. Thank you for introducing the amendment to us, Representative Marsh.
Chair Nathanson, I move the Dash 3 amendment be adopted into House Bill 3136.
Representative Marsh moves the Dash 3 amendment into House Bill 3136. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 3136 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Marsh moves House Bill 3136 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Yes, Representative Reschke.
If I understand, House Bill 3135 was just with this amendment put into that, and so that's why I'm going to be a no on this bill, is because I wanted to vote on those separately, and now they're together, so I'm going to be a no.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Objections? That's your turn. Yes. Representative Reschke. Motion passes. That's the end of the business on House Bill 3136. I'm closing that work session. And we are going to, let's see, we'll be at ease for just a moment. Thank you for that brief pause, committee. Without objection, I would like for us to be able to consider allowing Representative Smith Warner and Representative Smith to vote on bills that they missed when we started quickly this morning.
Full disclosure, when I was late.
Some of us were.
Is that all right
the
to
Smiths
allow?
The Smiths.
Is that okay?
Yes. Okay, let's take them.
Some problems.
Senate Bill 213A. How do you vote, Smith Warner?
Smith Warner votes aye.
Smith votes aye.
Thank you. Senate Bill 523A. Smith Warner.
Smith Warner votes aye.
Smith. And Representative Hernandez, yes.
I would like to change my courtesy yes to a no, please.
We can record that as well. Does that take care of everything where?
Madam Chair, you are most accommodating. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I think that takes care of catching everybody up to where we are right now. Okay. Now, I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 3436. Yes.
So just to give a brief overview, Chair, members of the committee, this bill adds to statute definitions of delivery sale and inhalant delivery system for the purpose of establishing requirements for delivery sellers of cigars for inhalant delivery systems, including things like third-party age verification, signed certification, and knowledge on the form that taking these as an underage person is illegal. So, and I believe Rep. Marsh is here to testify for additional information.
Thank you. Good. Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Thank you for the chance to be here. For the record, I'm Pam Marsh. I'm the House Representative from District 5, which is Southern Jackson County. Early last fall, with the help of a wonderful intern from Ashland High School, I ran a There Ought to Be a Law contest in my district. And the substance of the bill that we are about to review, HB 3436, is a result of an entry that was submitted by several high school students in response to what they characterize as an epidemic of vaping among their peers. Many of you will remember that back in 2017, we raised the age for purchase of inhalant delivery systems, also known as vaping products, to 21. But in their contest entry, the students reported that regardless of the law, their underage peers easily obtain these products online. And as recent research indicates, vaping has gone viral. In 2018, the National Institute of Health found that the number of high school seniors who reported vaping nicotine in the past 30 days had doubled to nearly 21% over a year. That means that a quarter of 12th grade students are using inhalant products at least occasionally. But perhaps even more shocking, middle school students reported that vaping increased to nearly 5% over the course of a year. This is a problem, because nicotine is a highly addictive substance that can cause immediate harmful side effects to developing brains and bodies. Many of these devices contain as much nicotine as a pack of cigarettes, and there's strong evidence that vaping may encourage kids to take up smoking. And I don't need to tell you that that's alarming. House Bill 3436 addresses the mail order of inhalant products and cigars by requiring vendors to undertake reasonable due diligence to ensure that the purchaser is at least 21. Vendors will be required to verify the age of the consumer through an independent third-party verification service, obtain a written statement with a signature that confirms that the consumer is at least 21 and provides clear notice that purchase by an individual under 21 is illegal. And three, verify that the credit or debit card or personal check submitted for payment is issued in the name of the prospective customer. HB 3436 is a logical, common sense bill to limit inhalant and cigar sales to underage minors. And I hope that you will consider it positively here today. Just a word about how this bill, which doesn't have a direct revenue impact, got to our committee. It was heard in the Health Committee and then viewed as something that could be amended into the inhalant bills that can being considered in revenue. It turned out that that wasn't a path that we could follow because of the limitations of those bills. So instead, we're putting this bill forward, believing that it still is a good partner to some of the other inhalant legislation that we've heard here, and certainly responds to some of the concerns that have generated in our conversations around online sales. So happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Finley.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Thank you, Rep. Marsh, for this bill. I think, and there was a huge article yesterday that I looked at on vaping, and it's certainly emerging. The only thing I question is why you're including cigars and vaping, because I think vaping is a major issue, and it's completely a different issue than cigars. So I just wonder why you clouded it.
And Rep. Finley. We really started off with vaping. That was the issue that came forward with my students and the one that they had observed. And we wound up in this latest incarnation of the bill folding in cigars because that's another product. Cigarettes are illegal to purchase online. So it just made sense as we were addressing the underage purchase to fold in other tobacco products that could be an issue for underage people. I don't think that, certainly among adolescents, I don't think cigars are come anywhere close to the attraction of vaping products.
I would agree.
But it seemed like there was certainly no harm in addressing a broader array of products, since this is really simply about requiring those vendors to make sure that they are making a legal transaction.
So, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but why wouldn't it be better to roll cigars in with the cigarettes and not allow them to be purchased online, because this still allows them to be purchased online, and leave vaping in a clean all by itself? I'm sorry, but it's easier to enforce.
I think there's an argument to be made that all of these products should be limited from any sort of online purchase, and it was sort of my assessment that we weren't ready to make those decisions during this session. And so this is what I would consider to sort of be an intermediary step toward, I think, conversations that should happen later on about the appropriate nature of any kind of online purchase of these products.
Yeah. Thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Thank you.
Thank you.
Has anything come up in our conversation that LRO would like to respond to? Okay. There is no other business on this bill. I don't see any. Anything you want to discuss from your position here?
No, I would say I appreciate your consideration. I know this falls a little bit outside our revenue purview, but I do think the bill is a good accompaniment to other discussions that we've been having.
Thank you. And I will state for the record that I agree that if there are going to be online sales, I think we should ensure that the sales are, that the transactions are happening in a way that we can ensure that the law is being followed. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 3436. The carriers for the two bills, and thank you, Representative Reschke, for asking about that earlier. The carrier for Senate Bill 213 will be Representative Hernandez. And the carrier for Senate Bill 523 will be Representative Finley. I believe we have concluded our business for today. We are adjourned.